Hello, I'm Miss Strachan and I'm going to tell you some of the approaches you can use for non-fiction language paper 2A. This is for the EDUCAST specification and it's the non-fiction reading paper. What you'll have is you'll have two extracts, one from a 19th century text and one from a 21st century text. Don't worry about the 19th century text because you have already studied that in class, and you've already studied A Christmas Carol as well, some of you. So you're actually really familiar with the language in a 19th century text, so you don't have to worry about that too much. What I'll do is I'll talk you through the A1 to A6 questions and give you some strategies and some tips for approaching these questions. A1 is very similar to A1 in the fiction paper. So for A1 in this paper, you've got three separate points that you need to make. Those 3 points need to be made in separate sentences so that the examiner will be able to see very clearly that you've understand the three different pieces of information that you need to provide. What I would recommend you do is that you look carefully at the question before you read the extract and make sure that you are reading the correct extract for this question, because if you take the information from the wrong extract, obviously you will lose marks. You won't get any marks, in fact. So I would reword the question into your answer in order to really show that you have understood exactly what it is that you are writing about. It's an easy question to drop marks on because it seems so very simple because it's just selecting information. However, if it seems too obvious, don't worry, write it down anyway because it probably will be correct. A2 is the next question that you're going to focus on, and this is a 10 mark question. So A1 was 3 marks, A2 is 10 marks. What you have to do is you have to refer to the language and explain the effect of the language. So in order to do that, we recommend that you should link your answer to the question, explain what the language technique is. So if it's an adjective, say it's an adjective. If it's a fact, say it's a fact. If it's a motive language, say it's a motive language. If it's a rhetorical question, say that it's a rhetorical question. When you do that, then you are going to give a quote which refers to the language technique that you've stated, and then you're going to explain the quote. So you're going to explain the meaning, the hidden and the obvious meaning, but you're also going to write about the effect of the language as well. You're going to do that 7 to 8 times in the amount of time that you've been given, because you do need to cover enough points from the extract. Now, you might be given a specific area in the text to look at, so make sure that you write about that specific area of the text. And that's A2, really, really simply. Then A3 is, again, very similar, except this time it's about explicit and implicit meanings. So looking for the obvious meanings, but looking for the hidden meanings as well. And this is probably likely to be in a 2-part question. And again, it's 3 marks. It's exactly the same skills that you used in A1. So again, you might be given a quote this time, but you have to make inferences based on that quote. So you have to say what the quote means. You have to tell the examiner that you understand what the writer is trying to say. That's quite simple. You don't need to quote for this question, but if you've been given a quote, you can obviously include that in your answer. Okay, then A4 is going to be very similar to the fiction A5 question. A4 is the persuasive evaluation, and when you are doing the persuasive evaluation, what you have to do is you have to build an argument based on the extract that you've been asked to write about. So you're probably still on the first extract for this question, A4, and what you're going to do is you're going to tell me what your opinion is. This is what this is. A persuasive evaluation is your opinion. It's very similar to the RS or RE questions that you get. So this type of question crosses over the curriculum as well. And what you have to do is you do have to use evidence. So your evidence and opinion. Use evidence, explain how it links to the question or the statement that you've been given. and then give your opinion on it. Do you agree or do you disagree with it? Why do you agree? Why do you disagree? What is your point of view on the question that's been asked? Remember, for the higher level, this is again a 10-mark question. For the higher level, you can predict the opposition. So you can say what somebody else might suggest. So another reader might suggest, another reader might infer, another reader might imply. However, I disagree because, or as you can tell from my points of view earlier, I don't believe this because. So remember, always give reasons, because if you give reasons, that's again, you're getting to the higher level of, the higher level of knowledge, and that will get you the higher marks. Okay, then A5, this is the question that my class have found the most difficult to date. But what you do is you bring together, it's the synthesis question. So A5 is about bringing together so information from both sources. So you have to refer to both texts. We recommend that you do two quotes from each text to get the 4 marks. And what you do is you make a point about the question, you find a quotation that supports that point from source one, and you find a quotation that supports that point from source two, and then you explain how both of those quotations link. So you're not comparing them, you're linking them. So you're showing how they show something similar. Okay, so it's normally going to be about the similarities, and then you do the same thing again. So you do too many evidence analysed paragraphs like that with a point which is about the question, the two quotations from across the different sources, and then the explanation of how they link. And then you move on to question 6. And question 6 is your comparison. So A6 is about comparing the evidence. Now remember, comparing is very similar to what you've done in the unseen poetry. It's also very similar to what you've done in the comparison of the anthology poems as well. So you do know how to compare. The most important thing that you're going to use in this question is going to be the connectives or comparison connectives. Remember, you can do contrasts as well. So you can do similarities and differences. So similarities and differences is what you do when you compare. So you will bring together information from both sources and you will see how they are the same or how they differ. And what you're doing is you're building, again, an argument, 10 marks of information from both sources which show how the sources are very similar or very different. Okay, there normally will be some similarities and some differences. If you can pick up on 4 quotes from each source, then you're probably going to get up into the higher marks. And if you can say what a couple of similarities are and a couple of differences are, and maybe why the writers might have done that, then you're going to get higher marks. Remember, the 19th century text is likely to have language in it that is quite difficult to understand in comparison to the language in the 21st century. You can mention why the language is different, okay? And you can say how the language is different, okay? You don't need to refer to language techniques, though. You don't need to refer to structural techniques because you're just comparing the information, okay? And that's it, really. That's A1 to A6, and I will summarise them again. So A1 is your selection of information, 3 separate points, please. A2 is your language analysis, that's quotation and effect of language. A3 is, again, your selection of information and your inference skills, so explaining how something is suggested. A4 is your persuasive evaluation, which is your evidence opinion. A5 is your synthesis question, which is your bringing together of information from across two sources. And A6 is your comparison question, where you see what the similarities and differences are. My top tip for the question is to stick to the timings. You've got about 1.5 minutes per mark. And I would recommend that you spend, you know, about 1.5 minutes per mark, per question. So that means that you've got, you know, 3 to 5 minutes for question 1, up to 15 minutes for question two, 6 minutes for question, sorry, not 6 minutes for question three, 6 minutes for question four, again, 10 to 15 minutes for question three, 10 to 15 minutes for question four, question five will be 6 minutes, and question six will be the 10 to 15 minutes. Now, obviously within that time, there is going to be reading that you need to do as well. So you're not going to always be writing. You are going to be looking for information. And I would recommend that you definitely highlight the information as you go along, so that when you revisit the paper as you're answering the question, you've already got the quotations underlined or circled, or if you've got a highlighter, highlighted. Okay, but it's not imperative that you have a highlighter. You can do the same job with a pen or a pencil. Okay, so that is the non-fiction reading paper 2A, questions A1 to A6. I hope that helps. Thanks, guys. Bye.